From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. We count it a privilege to have you listening in today. In just a few moments, you'll hear a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his studies in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, The Entrance of the King. The text is found in Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 48, the account of Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the beginning of the week which was to end with his crucifixion. In his opening remarks, Dr. Cairns refutes the assertion of some liberal theologians who accuse the Savior of being carried away at this point in his ministry. First of all, Dr. Cairns brings today's hot topic, barroom religion.
A North Carolina church recently decided to go to local bars to give out invitations to its services. There's nothing wrong with that. I can well remember back in Northern Ireland that churches commonly went to the bars to give out the gospel. Often we'd have someone who could sing, and they'd usually be welcomed, especially if they sang the old rugged cross. That would open up the way to give out gospel tracts and to speak personally with the less inebriated patrons. So I find nothing wrong with Christian workers visiting bars to distribute gospel literature or church invitations. However, the North Carolina church looked at things a bit differently. Its workers were not distributing gospel literature, as you may imagine it. What they gave to each drinker was a shot glass with the message, "Give us a shot." I believe that crosses the line. Shot glasses are for shots of highly intoxicating liquor, strong drink that can destroy everything in its way. Whether they intended or not, for Christian workers to give out shot glasses is tantamount to an invitation to put them to their normal use. The church leaders in North Carolina made it clear that though they knew their latest gimmick would be controversial, they stood by their methods. They were not trying to reach churchgoers, but non-churchgoers. They were inviting them to a church that had grown from a few people to around 700 in a year or two by being non-traditional. And so non-traditional evangelism would seem to go along well with the services they were advertising. By non-traditional, they mean that they conduct contemporary services where people dress whatever way they like and are encouraged to sip a drink and eat donuts during the worship service. I know that these so-called non-traditional approaches are popular nowadays. They have become an excuse for introducing all sorts of inappropriate elements into what claims to be Christian worship. I want you to stop and think. Can you imagine anything less like worshiping Jehovah as he is revealed in Scripture than this casual, man-centered approach to doing church, as today's jargon puts it? Where is the fear of the Lord? In the Bible, the fear of the Lord is essential to worship. You can't worship God without a reverence that is appropriate to who and what He is. And I put it to you that there's not even the semblance of true Christian worship in the non-traditional atmosphere I have described. I have a real problem with all this talk about traditional and non-traditional. It carries the notion that really the only reason for the kind of church service we conduct is tradition. In some cases that may well be true. But we need to get away from all ideas of tradition and get back to what theologians term the regulative principle of worship. This is a truth that God's Word establishes. God must be worshipped in the manner He has set forth in His Word. Worship is not to be subject to every innovation the imagination of man can invent. We must worship God His way, irrespective of tradition or lack of it. To take the church and the gospel to a bar is a good idea. To make the church like a bar, even if it's only a coffee bar, is carnal, not Christian. That's not tradition. That's plain truth.
Glory here, through no wish thought.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Gospel of Matthew. Five articles dealing with various aspects of this book will give you a deeper understanding of the Lord's Word through Matthew, the converted tax collector. Other articles in this issue deal with the nation of Ghana, as well as with one of the most important aspects of the Christian life, the subject of prayer. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org, that's ltbs@freepres.org, or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS, that's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
Now the Gospel of Luke, as we continue our studies in the life of Christ, coming near to the end of his earthly life. In fact, this is the portion that describes what is traditionally, or what are traditionally the events of Palm Sunday. Whether it actually was on a Sunday, whether Christ was crucified on a Friday, is a matter of a lot of scholarly dispute. And I'm not interested in getting into that this morning, but that's just to say how close to the end of his earthly life this was. So we're now in Luke chapter 19, verse 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. It came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. And they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. When he was come near, he beheld the city, and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And he went into the temple, began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him, and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. I never cease to be amazed at the arrogance, the pride of some people when they come to the Word of God. You would naturally think when you come to the life of the Lord Jesus, and especially as you come toward the great climax of his life, that most Bible scholars, all Bible scholars, would feel that they were on holy ground. It therefore comes as a jolt when you realize that to some critics, the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem has appeared not only as an unexpected event, but as a rather contrived event, something they say is completely out of character with the rest of his ministry. They can't get over the fact that for all the rest of his ministry, he was hiding from this kind of public acclamation, whereas now he seemed to be courting it. Some have even suggested that for this brief period, the Lord Jesus got carried away with the enthusiasm of his disciples and foolishly gave in to their messianic fervor. I don't care what degrees of scholarship such critics have. This is blasphemous nonsense. And that's it. This might appear an unexpected event. At the very first look at it, at first blush, you could wonder why there is this sudden
publicity over against the privacy that the Lord Jesus in some degree had sought to maintain. I'll give an answer to that as we go on. But let me say this was and remains for us a very highly significant event. It was directly a subject of Old Testament prophecy. This is one of the Old Testament prophetic highlights now fulfilled in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, this was an event that God planned down to its details, even down to the animal on which the Lord Jesus rode through the gate into Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus consciously and deliberately set out on this journey, sending his disciples for the colt of the ass, so that he would fulfill this prophecy, because he knew full well its importance to him and to the Jewish people. So 5 days before the Passover, that would therefore mean 4 days before his crucifixion, the Lord Jesus made this significant entry into the city of Jerusalem. Setting out from Bethany, where he spent each night in those days before his crucifixion, setting out from there, he sent two of his disciples to an as yet undiscovered, or to archaeologists unknown, little town or village or spot called Bethphage, to borrow an ass's colt on which to ride into the holy city, often called Jerusalem the Golden. Excitement was running high in and around Jerusalem at that time for many reasons. First, thousands had gathered, Jews and proselytes, from not only all over Israel, but from all over the world, to be in Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. Some who had been to Bethany and had seen Lazarus, who was dead and buried for 4 days, but now raised from the dead at the word of the Lord Jesus. Some who indeed had actually seen the miracle occur before their very eyes, had been spreading about Jerusalem the news of these wonderful events in the town of Bethany. So when the word began to spread that Jesus was now approaching the city of Jerusalem, the enthusiasm of the multitudes knew no bounds. Christ's disciples found the colt. They brought it to him. They set him thereon, covering it with their clothes. And then, in typical Jewish fashion, as they would mark the wonderful greatness of the one whom they were celebrating, they took their upper garments, and to them others added branches or boughs of fig trees or other trees and shrubs around, and they strewed them in the ground before him as he made his triumphant progress to the city. And as they did this, they began to sing aloud his praise. If you put the records of all the four Gospels together, it would appear that you have this crowd coming from the direction of Bethany, through Bethphage, around the southern slopes of the Mount of Olives. And then, on the hearing of the news, you have a great crowd coming out from the city of Jerusalem to meet him. And you have, therefore, this spontaneous but nonetheless spectacular display from the people of both faith and hope. Their cries soon were rending the heavens as they cried, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest." We learn from the other Gospels, and you must not think that this was simply something said in the time it takes me to read this. This was an ongoing exaltation. Thus the various definitions and descriptions of what they said in the four Gospels. They said, "Blessed be the King." They cried, "Hosanna," a quotation from the 118th Psalm, where it means, "Save, Lord. Hosanna in the highest." There was this constant, glorious rejoicing in the entrance of Christ the King, the Messianic monarch, into the holy city of Jerusalem.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.